Okay, we're on. 13B. We're 13B, we're down at the bottom. It says, we said yesterday that if you have a pain in your head, or you have some kind of boils, that you could be sok shemen, you can't use yayin lechaimus, because that's not what it's usually used for. Ava mafatim who has hayayin, you could put spice into the wine. And yayin shal meiser sheni shepitmo, if you have wine that was spiced, also losopo, you can't use it again. So anoint, because you don't use that for that purpose usually. Shemesh meiser sheni shepitmo, and of course you can do it with oil. Now we're on 14a. Mabein zel, is that what's the difference between the wine and the oil? Obviously, it's a simple reason. So darke lakach, saying darke lakach, the wine is not usually used that way, and that's it. So, meiser sheni can only be used for its customary use. Okay? Next, Rav Yudin Boy. Now, he asked an interesting question. Yeah, meiser sheni shenisrach. If you have meiser sheni oil that gets spoiled, it means it's spoiled and it's no longer roi lachilas adam. Oh, somebody joined online. Look at that.
Is that a bizoyan issue?
No. The question is, can you use it for any purpose? Right? The question is, does it retain its kedushas meiser sheni? So the Gemara says, I'm Ramana, we commission this off, pakim mekdoshasa. As soon as it's done, as soon as meiser sheni is no longer roi lachilas adam, it is no more kedusha. Nothing. You can use it to polish your shoes, it says in the footnotes. Matz shrichalei. So when is the question of Rabbi Yudon going to be nageya? Bishrius. Because the difference is, meiser sheni applies only to achilas adam, not to achilas behema, whereas shrius applies to achilas behema. So meichel behema, you do have kedusha shrius. Meichel behema does not have kedushas meiser sheni. Okay? So that would be the question. Do you say that once it's... So what's the question? What's the Hava Amina? Why don't you say, of course, it should be half Kedusha?
It's only animals.
But Shvius has Kedusha even if it's animals. So what's the question? The Gemara says that the question must not be Maisa Sheni, it must be Shvius, because Shvius has Kedusha even if it's Maichel Behema. But the question was, Nisrach, it was only... No, it was no longer roi lachilas adam. It's not nifsal from achilas kalaf, so it's still roi lachilas behema. So what's the question? Why don't you say, of course, it still has kedusha shvius?
It doesn't have kedusha shvius for people.
Because the only person doesn't.
It only has kedusha for animals, not for people. But so maybe that doesn't count.
What doesn't count?
The kedusha.
How we treat it.
We just said, let's start again. Shvius has Kedusha even if it's Michael Behema. That's a given.
Even if it's only Michael Behema.
Yeah.
Yes, right.
Oh, so you're saying the answer, he says over here. Oh, number five, he says, the Gemara speaking of oil, that although it is no longer fit for human consumption, is still fit for animals. Since the laws of Shvius are applicable not only to produce that is fit for human consumption, but even to produce that's only suitable for animals, therefore, such produce should be subject to the sanctity of Shvius. On the other hand, here's the question. On the other hand, while this oil is fit for animal consumption, it was never intended for animal consumption originally. It was originally intended for Michael Adam. Then it became Nisrach. So that's the kasha of the Gemara. Do you say something that was originally designated for Michael Adam and then became Nisrach, and it's roi lachilas behema, is that going to be nifsal? So that the Gemara does not answer. It's a binding late of Shatan. What? I don't know. I didn't look it up. I imagine it's a sveka deraisa, I guess. I don't know.
Wouldn't that be a common occurrence where something can become, with shvius, whatever it is, can still stay that way, but not be fit for consumption?
I guess it wouldn't be that rare a question.
So.
But on the other hand, I always tell people the Magen Avraham over there by Hilchas, by Erev Shabbos Shira, there was a minhag to throw wheat out for the birds, Erev Shabbos, because of the birds singing so nicely. But the Magen Avraham says the Magen Avraham says it's matashkes because if it's a royal achilas adam, you can't feed it to an animal. So you have to take that into account.
Felt that what you, the produce that you had was going to last to come to Mishalayim. So therefore you were not putting it. Okay?
Right.
You go take it up there and guess what?
It didn't make it.
You get delayed and it spoils.
Right.
What am I supposed to do with it?
Throw it out. Well, you can do whatever you want with it. My Sir Shani we're saying is it loses its Kedusha. You can do whatever you want.
But how is that different from here?
It's a Shvius.
But footnote number 5 addressed the comparison between
Shrius
and Maaser Sheni.
It did.
Maaser Sheni would say, Shrius would say, we keep it. We then has the Kedusha.
It might.
And Maaser Sheni, we're not Poshet.
No, Shrius, we're not Poshet. Maaser Sheni, we were Poshet. That was what Ramona said.
The oil is good for animal consumption. It was never intended for animal and perhaps, it never does retain.
That's talking about Shrius. But earlier, Amar Rab Mona, Mikiven Shenisrach, Pokami Menuk Dushasai. That was a statement of fact. Maaser Sheni, it's gone, nothing.
And therefore, there's no restrictions whatsoever.
It says you could polish your shoes with it. Okay, next. Shemar Rabbah B'Shem Rab Chanina. Zashahu Lochesh. Okay, now there's a whole footnote here about incantations. Which is, saying voodoo stuff. Saying voodoo stuff, right. So the reason why you're saying the incantation over here is to remove Ayin Hara of all things, right? It says over here in 6. And it's causing pains to one's head or one's body to feel heavy. I was wondering why it was feeling heavy. Anyway, so if you do is you say a Lakisha, and apparently this makes it go away. Alternatively, look at the alternative one. It's chanted as a remedy for a sinew of the ear that has moved downward out of position, causing the jaw to become dislocated. Now, this sounds to me like Bell's palsy.
That's what I was going to say.
I had this. You had it too. But it's not from the ear. It happens to be, it's in here, actually. But maybe in the times of the Talmud, they thought it was from the ear. But the thing is, if it causes your jaw to drop, so it's interesting. I didn't know that this was a possibility. You could have done a Lakisha. It would have been a lot easier.
You have to find the right rabbi.
Yeah.
You
enjoy your incantations.
Yeah. Okay. Now, there's a whole footnote about the incantations with the Rambam and the Rashba, if you're interested. Okay, so let's go back to the Gemara. So, Zeh Shehu Loichesh, a person who earns this Lakisha on Shabbos, for relief of an ailment. He puts the oil on his head directly from the jug, and he utters this lechisha. But you can't first pour it on your hand and then put it on your head. What's the reason? Uvda d'chol. That's what they say the reason is. It's uvda d'chol, you can't do that. Uvda d'chol can be anything. For instance, knocking with a knocker on the front door, where it's you have those knockers, can't do that uvda d'chol. It doesn't have to be in the law.
I thought the reason was because you put it on your hand, you can have an on your hand.
No, we're talking. This isn't talking about truma or mitzvahs or anything. This is talking about stam. If a person wants to do this on Shabbos, he can do it with oil. And there's no problem of, what's his name, of refuah?
Nothing to do with Maaser Sheni.
Nothing to do.
Isn't the idea of
It's not of the d'chol, because normally, how do you usually do it? Usually you pour it on your hand, and then you put it on your head. And now you're doing it a little bit differently. You're putting it directly from the keli onto your head. We're going to say in a second why it's changing. Okay? So the first shita is Shimon bar Baba Shimon.
There's no question for refuah, right?
And there's no problem of refuah here because it says it's such a different kind of thing. This is such an off-the-beaten-track type of refuah that you're not going to make a mistake to come to Mimata other refuah. So this is like, kind of like, holistic medicine. It's not real medicine. Reb Yaakov bar Idi, Reb Yochanan b'shem Reb Yanai. He says, no, you can do it regularly like you usually do during the week. He's not worried about the whole. The reason why he's more concerned that if you're not going to do it the way you do it regularly, you'll end up not doing it at all, and you'll end up having a tzar on Shabbos, and you'll be mevatel from Meinig Shabbos. For him, that's more important. Okay. Ma b'neihu, what is the machlokas between them? Mi isa. Question is pouring something directly from the keli onto your head, is that considered a davar mos? Ma davar mos, maybe I'm being kli mos. The one who says that you could do it either your hand or the kli, again, the Yerushalmi takes the second shita first, not like the Bavli. Usually the Bavli will take the first shita first. Yerushalmi always second shita first. That's Bein Biya Bein B'Kli, Reb Yaakov Bar Idi B'Shem Reb Yana. He says you could do it because it's Mias. You don't have to deviate from the manner which you usually do it because it is Mias. It's repulsive to put it on your head directly from the jug. Okay? And
discussing to him or to the person using it.
The one who holds the other way, he holds it's not so bad, it's not repulsive. So therefore, you have to make a little shinoi. Okay, that's the machlokes. Now there's a different view of here. B'yina meiser sheni b'neihayim. That the difference is what meiser sheni. That means what? Both opinions agree that pouring oil from the jug is me'isa. That is not the point of the machlokes, right? And now we're going to explain it now. Man de'amar noisin bein biyad bein b'chli. That you could do it either way on Shabbos because he holds ma'aser sheni oser. It's to do it with Meiser Sheni would be forbidden. Now, let's just talk about this. This Gemara is cryptic. What would be, you know, we're switching from Shabbos to Meiser Sheni, it doesn't seem to make sense. Let's just discuss Meiser Sheni independently for a second. What would be the din as far as pouring it onto my hand and then putting it on my head by Meiser Sheni? That would be Dover Pashut, that would be Osir. Why? Because there would be, like you said before, that some of it would remain on your hands, and that would go li'ibud, and we're makbid that it should not go li'ibud. Okay? Ma'aser sheni, you have to make sure. So therefore, the ma'aser sheni, for sure, you have to pour directly out of the keli onto your head. So what's the issue? The issue is, as far as Shabbos is concerned, am I going to compare Shabbos to ma'aser sheni and come to say, well, if I can do Bein Biyad Bein B'Kli on Shabbos, then maybe I would end up doing Bein Biyad Bein B'Kli by ma'aser sheni as well. So that's what the Gemara is saying, that you're not worried about it, right? Maybe I'm being kli on Shabbos. Meiser sheni is osur. There's no concern you might derive the law of meiser sheni from Shabbos. In other words, there is a comparison. There is a comparison. It says over here, the principles that apply with regard to meiser sheni are similar to those that apply to Shabbos. E.g., one may not use Meiser Sheni in a wasteful and dishonorable fashion. Similarly, one may not cause dishonor to the Shabbos through the performance of Avodah D'chol. So there is a tzad hashava of sorts between Shabbos and Meiser Sheni. Okay?
That same
tzad hashava applies to everything that has kedusha. It's not a Meiser Sheni. Yeah, okay, well, we're discussing Meiser Sheni now. Okay? I'm not disagreeing with you. It could be. But the one who says you have to put it directly, Meiser Sheni Mutter, he says that ruling that it would be permitted with regard to Shabbos would lead the general populace to conclude that Meiser Sheni is Mutter as well. So therefore, they prohibited on Shabbos to put it Bein Biyad Bein B'Kli. It's like a gzeira. Don't allow it on Shabbos because you may come to put it on your head with the kli. What's his name? With Meiser Sheni, with your hand. Okay. No. It says in footnote 7. In the bottom of footnote 7, it says in the brackets, this does not fall under the general prohibition against prohibiting performing remedies on the Sabbath. For neither the incantation nor its accompanying application of oil can be confused with standard medicinal procedures. So that's the svara we're using here. On Rabbi Yossi, he calls him mutter b'shavas, mutter b'maiser sheni. Is there this thing that this whole idea that whatever is mutter on Shabbos is mutter by maiser sheni, b'chalsh also b'shavas also maiser sheni, that all of a sudden you're worried that people are going to make comparisons? I mean, we know that there is a distinction between maiser sheni and Shabbos. For Hatani, we have a b'raisa. Medicha hi isha b'na b'yayin v'nei hazeya. A woman can wash her son in wine on account of sweat on the Shabbos. 14. Although it's prohibited to anoint on the Sabbath with wine or vinegar because that's usually done for therapeutic purposes. But if it's for sweat, the kid's all hot and sweaty and we want to cool him down, right? So you use a little wine, right? Yeah, that's,
hopefully we're only using a good
Cabernet. Yeah, hopefully not. I remember when I was a little boy and I had temperature. My mother used to use cotton balls with alcohol,
yeah,
and give me an alcohol rub down to get rid of the fever. To get rid of the fever.
Alcohol evaporates.
So there's a difference. Alcohol's alcohol.
Why don't you bring you a bottle of ice for alcohol Friday night for
kids? I'll add it to the grape juice and see if it.
Why is this not what's
beg your pardon?
Why is not using good wine?
Oh, it's not. Whenever anything is used for a purpose, a good purpose for a person.
Well,
she doesn't have an alternative. That's what she has. That's the liquids available. There's no running water. This is what she has. There's no Eruv. There's no way to get the water from the local river. You know, Akasha from Iceland. That's what it says. It says it's mutter.
But this is only out
Maiser Sheni. No. This is not talking about Maiser Sheni. This is talking about Shabbos so far. We're trying to show. Now this brisa is going to prove to us that there is no comparison. The brisa says that you can wash the child in wine because of zeya, betruma, but by truma you cannot use it because that's ibud truma, because truma is normally eaten, not used for washing. He truma, he maaser sheni, and truma maaser sheni are basically the same rules. He can't be ma'abed truma. He can't be ma'abed maaser sheni. So you see, there's it's demonstrated a distinction can be drawn between the laws of Maaser Sheni and Shabbos, disproving Rabbi Yonah's contention.
But one second, I thought we said Maaser Sheni, you could use yourself to see
it. After it's no longer Maaser Sheni.
What?
As if it was...
Well, hold on a second. If you're talking about wine, which is roi l'shasiyah, you cannot use that for sicha. You can use shemen for sicha because that's what its normal use is.
Right.
But we said beferished. Yayin is also.
I can use truma for sicha.
Yes.
If it's shemen.
Yeah.
If that's the normal use of Shemin, yeah.
That's
normal,
yeah. Yeah. Okay. On the base. Malkadon. So what's the reason for Panina's position that it's forbidden to apply oil either by hand or by utensil? In other words, we've slugged up the reason that we tried to say before that if you're going to rematter it, then you're going to come to say that just like it's mutter on Shabbos, it's mutter on Maaser Sheni. We've slugged that up because there's no comparison because Shabbos has its own separate halachas. Now the Gemara goes back to the old reason. That the reason is because of Ododuchol. So even if pouring wine directly in the jug is Esau, you still can't do it because it's Ododuchol. That's what it says over here. The Gemara cites this phrase to convey that the rabbis unequivocally prohibited the performance of a weekday activity on the Sabbath in its normal manner. So it even if the alternative is repulsive, we still will be machmer. That's the
basically we still the rule. Will be what?
We'll be machmer. We won't allow it. Uvda dechol, right?
Oh.
In other words, the issue is you have an uvda dechol versus doing something that's mos. The Gemara is coming out the maskana now. That even if it's mos, you have to do the meisa thing in order to avoid the uvda dechol. Okay, weiter. So we said in the Mishnah, right? If you have fish and you're cooking it with leeks, the leeks are Maaser Sheni, right? So Now the leeks are going to cause the fish to become worth more. So now when you're paida the fish, right? So how much do you have to pay? Because you have to be paida it. So you take the proportion of the value. So if the example I think we said, if you had fish was worth 3, and you had leeks which were worth 1, and it went all the way up to be worth 5, right? So it went up 2. So when you want to be paida it, so you have to use the proportion. And you do the math. I can't do the math. Okay, I'm Rav Hashia. La k'Rav Yehuda. The Mishnah is not like Rav Yehuda, meaning that the leek is a component in the value of the fish. That's not like Rav Yehuda. Desina. Mishnah says about chulin foods into which truma onion was placed. Right, so you have a truma onion that was used in the making of a fish. So what's the din? Rav Yehuda matir b'tzachana. Rav Yehuda says the tzachana, which is a small fish marinated in brine, and you made it with a truma onion, that he's matir it to even a zar can eat that fish. Why? Because she'eno, the onion is only for the purposes of litul hazorma, to take away the bad smell. So it doesn't have. It's not nice and tam as far as eating is concerned. Okay? So it follows. Looking at the English on 14b2, look, it follows. I just want to finish the point of the Gemara. So it follows that leek, which is similar to onions, because it doesn't contribute any flavor to the fish, apparently. It takes away the zuama of the fish, this leek, I guess. So our Mishnah, which attributes a part of the appreciation of the fish to the leek, does not follow the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's totally inconsequential to the food. It's just taking away the zuama. And so you would not calculate a value in the redemption on the basis of the leek, according to Rabbi Yehuda.
Moving a negative is not
considered
positive.
That's not considered positive. That's correct. I'm sorry, what would you
say? Move an onion, it's going to leave its own
zuama.
That's what you think.
A good smell, you know.
Yeah, I like onions also in my herring. Yeah, I don't know.
In your hair?
My herring. I'll put oil in my hair. Okay. Now, Bonan de Kishon Bayan. So the rabbis of Caesarea analyzed Rav Yehuda's view. That means, if you have any dover iser, right? If I have a taruvus. It's just an ordinary taruvus of usser and mutter together in a pot. Now, let's forget about the idea of shishim. It's nice and tam, right? So how do I determine whether it's nice and tam? I can't eat it because if it's nice and tam, I'm eating treif. So you give it to kapela, you give it to a guy. Let's suppose there's no guy around. So then Rabbi Yochanan gave the following formula to apply to every case. This is the formula. You look at the Dover Isser, and you see if this Isser and this Heter were an onion and a kaplot. If it was an onion or leek, kilu botzol. As if an onion or leek were the dover osser, right? So you look at that, and you say, if it was an onion or a leek, would it have given tam at this level of taruvus? Because you don't know. But I guess you do know, if it were an onion, theoretically, if it would have given tam. I mean, it's a strange thing. But you know, based on what you have in front of you, whether it would have given tam or not. So that's what you base it on. And if it would not have given tam, then it's mutter. If it would have given tam, then it's osser. So you see the farish that the leek and the onion give tam. That's clearly not like Rabbi Yehuda, right? The law of Rabbi Yehuda, that does not accord with his view. According to Rabbi Yehuda, onions and leeks don't enhance flavor. Obviously, then a prohibited item that's mixed with fish cannot be measured as if it were an onion or a leek. So it doesn't follow the view of Rabbi Yehuda. That's... Is this a question or a statement? I don't know what this is.
say that.
Yeah.
I think it's the second half that's why you say
that. What?
The next part is why you can say it that way.
Yeah. Okay. So the Gemara says, Maid Reb Yehuda b'batzal shal hekdesh. Maid Reb Yehuda b'batzal shal avayda zara. When it comes to hekdesh and avayda zara, these things are not only asr b'achila, they're asr b'hanoah. So, as far as achila is concerned, we've written that off. It's just l'havir hazuama. But as far as hanoah is concerned, they certainly are. You're getting hanoah from the fact that the zuama is not here. So he's obviously going to be moida that those are going to be awesome. Okay? That's going to be different. Now, let's say honey and spices were mixed. Case of colon fish cooked in the mice or shiny leek. Right. We said you do lefi cheshbon. When it came to the mice or shiny dough with the chul and firewood, we said that it doesn't make a difference, that you don't have to do appropriate because it's not the end. Right? And the whole thing goes to, what do you call it, to the mice or shiny. Zaklal. Any food in which the agent is recognizable, then it's reckoned appropriately, proportionately. Any food where it's not recognizable, like the breads, right? So let's see here. In what way the agent that caused the appreciation must be recognizable? Whenever there's an increase in the food's volume, in other words, I have an agent in there, and now the food weighed a pound before. Now it weighs a pound and 0.1 ounce, right? So there's, you can tell that there's mamushas there. There's something there. So then hashrak lafi cashman, then you do it appropriately, proportionally. But there's nothing extra. Hashrak lasheni, then the whole thing goes to maizah sheni. Reb Shimon lakashomer, the whole appreciation is not, it's not proportionate, right? Reb Shimon ben lakashomer, kosh tol chertam shivchay nikar, whenever the taste is recognizable, then hashavach lefi cheshbon. Kol sheina tam shivchay nikar hashavach lesheni. So in other words, it's not totally in. The way he puts it is quantity versus quality. According to Reb Yochanan, it's a quantity. It's quantitative. That's the formula. According to Ish Lakish, it's a qualitative quality, right? And we'll stop here, okay?